Hi, ladies. This is Trish Dietz, and I want to thank you for listening in with me on this podcast as we look at Mark 15, and it's session 12 in our booklets. Specifically, we're looking at Calvary. We're focusing on that, the cross, what Jesus' sacrifice on the cross means to us personally. By way of illustration, I'm thinking of one of our grandsons. He's almost three now, and recently he started opening his little conversations with his parents saying, "Because you love me," and then he'll follow with a request, something like, "Hold me," or "Sit with me," or "Can we go outside and play?" or "Will you give me a bite of that?" It's so endearing, and it actually deepens the strength of their relationship because Owen knows his parents love him. Already, he wisely knows that that love is the foundation of their care. He doesn't say, "If you love me," but rather, "Because you love me." Though he has a limited ability to fully understand or appreciate, that love brings him comfort, security, provision. I have to add, though, he's stretching it a bit with that sweet sentiment now to include, "Because you love me, can I have another cookie or ice cream or not go to bed?" His parents, because they love him, will make the decision what these requests to happily oblige to or to lovingly say no to. Well, the text we have studied this week in Mark 15 records the account of the greatest demonstration of love ever known to mankind, the sacrificial death of Jesus on a cross. The title of this podcast is "Because Jesus Loves Me." I'm applying this truth that I learned from this section in first person. The application, it's with me personally, and it's with you personally if you know Jesus as your Savior. I pray as you listen, you ponder it, you'll do the same. Make it personal, ladies. As a follower of Jesus, these truths are for each of us individually. As important as it is to know what Jesus has done and continues to do for me, it's important that we know and we think about, we ponder why. To sum it up, because he loves me, because he loves you. The reality is the entirety of Scripture is a demonstration of the love of God and his plan for mankind. So with love as the foundation of what we studied this week in the death of Jesus, what are key areas I always want to remember? Like my grandson opens a conversation with his parents, acknowledging their love for him, I begin this conversation with the Lord doing the same. "Because you love me, Jesus, first of all, you suffered for me." The text in Mark 15 that we studied this week begins with the crowds around Jesus yelling and mocking him, openly ridiculing him for his perceived lack of power and authority in their eyes. Those were mocking words, painful, blasphemous words. "Look at you. You can't even save yourself," and it goes on. But the suffering of Jesus went far beyond the lies and insults. Jesus' path to the cross was the most difficult one anyone could endure. The gospel accounts tell of the agony. They give us a glimpse of the pain, the torture, the ridicule, the loneliness, the abuse, the scorn, the blasphemy. He was betrayed, struck, spit on, scourged. That crown of thorns mockingly driven into his head, and the crowd yelled for him to be crucified, a demand that was obliged. He was abandoned by his closest friends, and then he was made to carry his own cross on his torn back and then nailed at his wrists and his feet. Jesus endured a pain so severe we cannot comprehend it. It's been said, quote, "a most cruel and terrible death penalty, incapable of description by any word, for there are not words fit to describe it, end quote. In fact, the crucifixion was so gruesome that no matter how horrific a Roman's crime would be, they wouldn't be permitted to suffer that penalty of crucifixion. He suffered. He died for me, for you. Why? Because he loves you. He loves me. John 3:16 was the first verse I memorized as a new believer. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shouldn't perish, but have everlasting life. You know, the world stands guilty before a holy God because of sin. And from the book of Romans, we know that we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And the wages of those sin is death. We were hopeless, we were helpless until the cross. But then God demonstrated his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Christ died for us. And whoever calls on the name of the Lord would be saved. Upon that forgiveness, salvation, there is now no condemnation to those in Christ. That's the gospel message, ladies. God won't, he can't tolerate or be in the presence of sin. And the cross serves as evidence of his wrath and his love. But God has an everlasting love for us, that we're made in his image, and he doesn't want to be separated from us because of sin. His love was and always will be perfect. 1 John 4:10 says, "This is love, not that we love God, but that God loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." At the crucifixion, God unleashed his full wrath and judgment of sin upon his Son, who he himself was blameless, without sin. On the cross, Jesus displayed unwavering, perfect proof of his love. Oh, ladies, the love of God, it's perfect. It's personal. He hears my cries. He knows my desires and needs. His love never ends. It is full of grace, mercy, compassion, strength, wisdom, favor. I don't deserve it, nor can I escape it. Nothing, nothing can separate me from the love of God in Christ. You know, it's impossible for me to understand and fully appreciate the sacrifice. There's a song that I love, "I'll never know how much it costs to see my sins upon that cross." But in that song, there's in essence a prayer. But help me, Lord, know how much it costs to see my sins upon that cross. So because Jesus loves me, he suffered for me. With a grateful heart, I bow and I thank Jesus that he suffered and he sacrificed his life for mine. Well, continuing on with our text, the second point I wanted to look at was, because you love me, Jesus, you saved me. Vaughn Roberts said, and I quote, "The cross was not a tragic failure. It was a triumphant rescue," end quote. He saved me. Jesus saved me. He rescued me from death to life, from darkness to light, from despair to hope. I was floundering, but now I have purpose. From our text, verses 37 and 38, with a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Up to this very moment, ladies, this veil, which may have been as high as 60 feet tall and 4 inches thick, separated the place of God's earthly dwelling from man. This thick veil was a constant physical reminder that man is separated from God because of sin. Only one time a year on the Day of Atonement, the high priest who served as mediator between a holy, holy, holy God and sinful people was permitted to pass through to offer an animal sacrifice for man's sin. But man would and still continue to sin, so this ceremony was needed to be repeated every year. Why the sacrifice of animals' blood necessary? Well, Hebrews tells us because without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sin. When Jesus, our perfect, sinless, spotless Lamb of God, took away the sins of the world once and for all, by his sacrifice and shed blood, that veil was torn from top to bottom. Only God could do that. Let that sink in. 60 feet tall, up to 4 inches thick, and it was torn from top to bottom, opening the way into the presence of God for all who would choose to enter by faith. And that was Christ's sacrifice. It's accomplished. It's done. Jesus saves. He's paid the penalty for our sins once and for all. Hebrews 10, 17 and 18 says, "The Lord says, I will never again remember their sins or lawless deeds. And when sins have been forgiven, there's no need for more sacrifices. Jesus is the Lamb of God and the High Priest forever, who takes away the sins of the world. The curtain is forever torn, the barrier removed, and sinners like you and me can come into the presence of God forgiven as his children any time. The ability to confidently, boldly enter a throne room of grace to find mercy and help in time of need. Jesus saved me nearly 30 years ago, and in the decades since then, how often do I just sit and meditate and thank him for that? I have a friend who's walked with Jesus so closely for over 40 years, and each and every time I have the opportunity to pray with her, she begins her prayer thanking God for saving her. This isn't a hurried habit for her. It conveys to me her gratitude, her awe for her salvation. It's as precious to her now as it was the hour she first believed. What an example to me. And as you and I contemplate and thank Jesus that he loves me, he suffered for me, he saved me, it should overwhelm us with precious security. And in closing, thirdly, I want to consider, because you love me, Jesus, I am secure. There are synonyms for secure that include protected, defended, guarded, sheltered, shielded, covered, harbored, cared for, preserved. What a beautiful picture of our Savior. It's never a matter of if he loves me, but always because he loves me, I'm secure. God is for me, and that brings security. Jesus died and was raised to life for me. Nothing can separate me from his love. Though we're still going to encounter trials, and oh, what trials we are in the midst of. The hardships, the confusing times, the lack of so much security that we once probably put our false hope in. We are secure because Jesus, he loves us. I'm never alone. I'm never abandoned or without hope. Jesus is right now at God's right hand praying for me and you so that no matter what we face, we're guaranteed of his guidance. That's victory. Security, we're still going to sin. We're sinners saved by grace, but Satan's power has lost its grip on me. I'm not a slave to sin anymore. I'm not without hope any longer because of the cross. The love of Jesus demonstrated on the cross brought peace with God for me, forgiveness, hope, not just here, but in his presence for all eternity. And like my grandson is discovering his parents' love is the foundation of what they do for him, I pray you know how eager God is to show his love, to offer his help, to guide you, to comfort you when you're hurting, to direct you when you don't know what to do, to protect you from harm, to provide peace when there seems to be no other peace around, to provide where you have need, to forgive you when you've asked and ask for his forgiveness, to humbly go before him with a receptive, yielded heart, ready to listen, follow, and obey. Because he loves you, ladies, he's listening, and he will respond. God bless you, ladies.